This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, Friday morning. It's been a 4-day week, so you shouldn't be exhausted. Somehow I am. I think you squeeze more into 4 days. Which country is it where they do the 4-day week and the 3-day weekend?
Somewhere quite far north, though.
European? Like, no. It's in Africa.
Really?
Guinea-Bissau.
Really?
One of those. Togo. I can't remember, but they've got a 4-day work week and they've got a 3-day weekend.
But you were saying
and the people are just as productive. People are more relaxed. Their lives are a bit better. I'm telling you. The model for the perfect week is this week where we had the extra public holiday on Monday.
You were having the mania yesterday, so perhaps that's why you're also a bit tired.
I don't know what, I don't understand how that works. I know I'm feeling, because I did one edible this morning at 5:30, it certainly has discombobulated me, made me a little anxious. I like the fact that I'm very relaxed. I mean, that obviously is something, that's what people are going for most of the time, right? But I don't love this loss of control, and I don't love the fact that I have to fight this the whole time, because I think I could quite easily sit and just be quiet, and instead I'm trying to control the environment in my head. That bothers me. How are you feeling?
I just completely uncertain, completely, I feel almost out of body, actually. That's the strange thing, is that you can get up and take a few steps and there's complete perfect functioning within that.
Yeah.
But everything's kind of in rainy almost. Everything's a mix, but you still got moments. Yeah, I've lost myself.
Okay.
No, really.
That is such an Avicii lyric.
Gosh. No,
I've lost myself.
But I'm seeing different layers of layers.
Of?
I had exactly what you had.
Now you're a Coldplay lyric. What is that? You're seeing layers and layers?
No, I'm in the Matrix, you see layers and code and stuff. And that's
okay. You think you've actually... Okay, you maybe... Are you sure that was just weed?
I had exactly what you had. Small dose.
But it occurred to me. I mean, I'm paranoid, but you know what I mean.
I'm seeing all kinds of it's just bizarre. Everything's depth-wise is very, very strange.
Nola, what's going on?
My legs feel like jelly. I can't feel my legs, actually.
Where is Peter? Peter, just come in here quickly. Listen to this quickly. Hi guys. I was terrified of smoking weed for a long time after a bad experience. It's almost like you have to program. Oh, this is a long message. You have to program yourself to enjoy the high. It's really not difficult. It's about letting go and enjoying it. I often smoke only after a long night out, which sounds like a bad idea, but it works for me. I find I'm mixing alcohol and weed. It adds to the experience, and it means that I'm pretty chilled out again after a few beers with good mates. Love you guys for doing this. And that's from Kelly. Gareth, I'm with you on not letting go of control. Eating it was way worse for me, Michelle. Oh, eating the weed, sorry. Didn't make sense for a second. You see, this is where I'm not making sense. Ben is the best sports guy in South Africa. 9 out of 10 rating. He should be a 10 if he covered F1.
Oh, yeah, but Lewis Hamilton's got that 40-point lead, which he's now trying to play down. So it's not really interesting anymore.
I don't want to do the news. I really don't want to talk about the news. We did the three things you need to know earlier on this morning, and those are the only news stories that I want to talk about today. But if you have something on your mind, you know what to do. Give Nola a call. She's waiting there. 0861-555-189. And you can also send us a message if you want to on 079-748-2090. You know you can get all you need to know about taking care of your furry family members. That's right. Pause for Thought. That's PAWS for Thought is a 10-part podcast series brought to you by Pet Heaven, South Africa's leading online pet food delivery service. And it's hosted by Leanne Moll. Find out about nutrition, socializing your dog, traveling with your pets, puppy training, common health issues, pet insurance, and a whole lot more. All 10 episodes are available now on cliffcentral.com or wherever you listen to podcasts, because I don't mind if you listen on our app or on any other app, or you download it from some, I don't mind. Do whatever you need to get to us. And of course, like, you know, everything that we love about this, you can listen to it whenever you want to. You can listen to the whole series in one big go, or you can break it up and listen every week. There's an episode every week, and there are 10 altogether. Pet Heaven is an online-only pet supplies business. They offer recurring deliveries to keep your pets regularly fed, exceptional customer service, and competitive pricing in all their brands. Check them out at petheaven.co.za. All right, Ben, give us an update. What are you feeling? Any improvement in your condition?
No, not the slightest. I'm just feeling like I'm going to add absolutely no value here.
All right. Any luck on the CF front?
In what way?
How are you feeling?
All... No, I'm good.
You missed the question? You're right, Sia.
Yes, no, I really am.
And now,
and
our star pupil.
South Africa, can you say yes, no?
Our star pupil, Nolo. How are we doing, Nolo?
What's up?
Okay, what the Missy Elliott is going on?
What's
up?
What's up?
Oh. Nolo's having a great day. All right. This is amazing. All right. Guys, that was just weed. There was nothing else in any of that stuff. You know, I get a little paranoid.
That's a concern. I understand with certain personality types, it's a difficult thing to kind of let go in a way. And I think that's kind of the balance that I've found, is that the thing of letting go in a little way allows you to have more control in more different ways for me. It's my pre- and post-workout, basically, if I choose the right strain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man. And there was only THC in those edibles, of course. The people who make these things take a lot of pride in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can imagine also if they don't and word gets out, they're out of business.
Exactly. I think, as we say, there are a lot of people doing a lot of, that have been doing a lot of good, very great things, and that have been paying tax, even though the market has been very, very grey. But we have good people packaging things like this Canapop company, who they're packaging things in a way that you can take it to a birthday party as a present.
Yeah.
And it won't look like you are bringing weed, you know, the dacha. Because there is a stigma about the word dacha, obviously, in South Africa. That's why we refer to it as...
Many people whose lives have been ripped apart because they... You know, either grew some or dealt some.
Yeah.
I mean, there are serious criminals in the world, and then there are those kind of people. And one of them, you can guess which one, doesn't need to be in jail.
Definitely, man. I think that's what we're also looking to promote, is the idea of people being able to rehabilitate themselves in a way. Like, we're just happy that we're not criminals in the eyes of the law anymore, as normal people, basically.
Well, I remember we had the Dacha couple in here a while ago, and they are really big advocates for, you know, the legalization of weed and the decriminalization of people who are caught with it or deal in it, you grow it, whatever it was. And I thought they presented a very good case. They made sense. You know, they were thoughtful. You could see that they were very sincere. Are there a lot of allies like that in the community when it, you know, it's now above ground, you would think, but before this, it was a closed community, right?
No, most definitely. And I mean, sorry, man. All the things that Dr. Couple have to say, it's, you know, they've actually put all the research into it, and I actually respect them so much as well. It's David Acton and
Jeremy Acton
as well. Sorry. And you know what, the community is actually growing a lot more. A lot of people are coming out, even on social media. A lot of people are actually joining the groups and speaking about it a lot more. You know, and there's a lot of people for it, and we are also for the full legalization of it. You know, I don't know. Sorry, I don't know.
What's going on, guys?
I don't know what he wants me to do.
No, speak then. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah, so everybody is actually pulling together and really helping each other in this community to grow, and that's really, really, really great, you know. And it's actually, we couldn't ask for more help from anybody, you know. Like, really, it's amazing. Thank everybody.
Well, now it's happened.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. It's really, really awesome.
Right. All right, guys. Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to relieve you of your duties now. We keep calling you back in here. Yeah.
Can we read our social media?
Yeah, maybe? Of course you can.
Awesome. Firstly, obviously, Canapop, who did the edibles. On their Instagram, it's canapop.vol that you can search. Canapop, they're brilliant. They're here. They're also situated in the coast. Then our Instagram is Seedside SA. Our Facebook is also Seedside SA. Also, go to our website, www.seedside.co.za. And yeah, for any inquiries, contact us, and we try to deliver stuff quickly, and we package things in a specific way. So.
All right. Very nice.
Thanks, man.
Okay. All right, dude. Thanks for coming this morning. I mean, without you, we wouldn't have had the experience. Okay. How long does it last?
Well, with edibles, what would you say, Morne?
It's a few hours, so it'll last you until, let's say, about 12 is often your tolerance. It depends on it. So it'll last me until about 11, 12. You guys maybe until about 1, 2 o'clock.
Yay, Ben. You've got a lot of hours to look forward to, Ben.
That's not a good idea.
But I can assure you, you will be okay.
Yeah. You physically can't die because of THC.
No.
That's the one thing. I'm just saying at the ultimate scale.
Yeah, yeah. But that's a ridiculous thing to say. Like how do you turn that down? How long does that frantic stage last?
It doesn't actually last too long. Like, you start to mellow out after a while. It's just the initial, especially when you smoke, it's that initial hit because it hits you so quick. In my general opinion, when I first started smoking, that's how it hit me as well. But after you smoke it for a while, you know, you become used to it, basically. Not the frantic panicking and stuff. Like, to each their own, you know. It's if you can't handle it, like I said, there is the medical range of the things, so you can still get all the benefits that you need, but without getting high. And there's a lot of people that don't like getting high.
Sure, of course. All right, very versatile thing too. They can make all kinds of things out of hemp, you know. People discuss that stuff as well. All right, thanks very much. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
cool.
A lot, man.
Lovely. It is our Experience Fridays, and there's going to be a little bit more music than usual because I need to reset the place and see who's in and see who's out. Have to shepherd the sheep. All right.
See Wonderland in your eyes.
Yes, it's Friday. End of September already, and we're experiencing Friday this morning. We've got the guys in here with the weed. Nolo has moved to another planet. Sia has I think you have just come down back to Earth. Mm-hmm. Yes, no?
Yeah.
What's the story, Sia?
Oh. Now I can hear myself. There we go. Yeah, I'm all good. I feel like I'm mellowing out, so I'm here to do the show.
All right, very good. I heard Batabile Dlamini is going to have to pay some of the enormous legal costs that she incurred as Minister of Social Welfare. Personally.
If I'm not mistaken, it's 20%, I think. Yeah.
She's going to have to dock up for that legal fee, and that's not insubstantial. And this is really an excellent thing, because it means that they're going to be public servants who are going to think twice about wasting government money, wasting the taxpayers' money. And people like Batabile Dlamini should be held responsible for what they've done.
Just be honest. Do you think it's going to happen? I don't want to...
I don't know. She'll wriggle and... Mm. You know how it goes. Politicians.
I still do at least have hope.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
All right. Where's Mark Mdluli? Is he still here? Ria, get in here. I want to talk to these guys. The worst guys. And they'll explain the whole... why they call it the worst guys, because some people still don't get it. They think I'm being mean about them. I go, those are the worst guys. Explain the name again. I know you have before when you came to speak to us.
The worst guys?
Yeah.
The name actually came as a blessing from one of our dear friends, John Lamani. But to me, it's actually we taking everything that is seen as negative and changing the perspective on it, you know. Just being yourself is shunned upon by some people.
Yeah.
And...
that's not how you feel.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just making light out of what people deem to be dark.
All right. Ben, did that make sense to you as a name?
70% yes. I kind of got lost in a little bit in the middle.
All right, Ben, how's Ben doing here, guys? How would you rate Ben as a...
No, I think he's doing all right. I think what people are missing is the idea that our faults are things that we should be ashamed of.
What faults? Like, no.
You have positive sides and you have negative sides. Yeah, everybody has good seeds, everybody has bad seeds. And we put up a facade most of the times as to what we want the world to think about us. But a lot of the times there's a lot of things going on behind stage that we don't want anybody to know or whatever the case might be. So you're ashamed of that. So we're not hiding who we are in its entirety. We're saying we do have good, we do have bad. So instead of hiding from it, we'll call ourselves the worst guys. Right. People say, why the worst guys? We say we had no choice. Otherwise, you wouldn't let us be who we are. Because the truth is, we're going to be honest and we're going to be raw and we're going to be hard to hear at times. But I think that's the first one to break through the brick wall always feels the effects first, you know? Mm. And I think that's who we are as the worst guys.
All right, so you have other jobs, you have like a full schedule of stuff. How do you fit in so much weed, dude?
It fits into your life just casually.
It's like a part of a ritual. It's like people say, how do you fit in gym into your life? Gym is 2 hours of your life. Smoking a Jake takes 10 minutes. And it just has a great effect for my day. I feel uplifted. I move on. And I just carry on doing what I do. And it's just, I don't go into a situation to be high. Just when I need it, I need it. Mm. You know, I don't smoke just to be like, yeah, I'm smoking, I'm a cool guy. It's just, it's genuinely something I use as part of my day.
Creatively as well, it just like, it elevates us as well.
When you, because you guys rap.
Yeah.
So what does it make you more imaginative, like chill you out?
Yeah.
The ideas just come easily.
It's almost a quicker snap in your brain, if I would say. It's a genuine thing, you can feel it. But you see, these are the type of things that it's hard to explain what it's like to be high because it's a personal experience. Do you know? So it's difficult to put into words.
You remember the first time you got high?
Yeah, I couldn't stop laughing. That was my thing. It was like it was too much for me as well. Do you know what I mean? And like after a while, it used to be like this crazy experience. Oh, we're going to the Bot Gardens to go smoke weed and, you know, there's nature and it's all quiet and we're there. But now it's a thing of like, even early in the morning, like this is the perfect setting for me to be high right now. The sun is rising. I'm feeling glorious. I'm like, yes, it is a good day indeed. Friday. I've been waiting to say this. It's the weekend, baby. Dream of saying that.
Yeah, I'm turning.
It's day one.
I'm turning back into a radio DJ. Oh, God, help us. Oh.
I just had to
I'm going backwards. No, I hope nobody's paying attention. All right. Thanks, dude. Nice to see you. Ben has decided to take a sleep on the sofa in the studio. Are you all right, Ben?
No, not really.
Uh-oh. Sia, how are you doing?
All good. A lot of thinking, but ready for the weekend.
Thinking?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Introspection, Gareth. It's an important thing. Right. Once in a while.
Here we are. Thank you, Sia. As I said, more music than usual. Alrighty. It's 24 minutes after 7. We're going to host an unconventional version of the Burning Platform this morning. Of course, the Burning Platform is always brought to you by Nando's. And this morning, Burning Platform, a very special guest, someone whom I have heard commentate in various ways and shapes and forms. He certainly knows a lot more about some of the political goings-on than he will admit to. He seems preternaturally gifted in that respect. And I'm delighted he could join us on the Experience Friday, a particularly irregular one, Mr. Canton Pillay. But thank you so much for making yourself available. And you have a couple of stories that I also have a couple of stories I want to ask you about. But the primary ones this week in terms of the news that I'm interested in discussing with you this morning, I mean, it's ongoing, the state capture thing. We're not going to talk about that unless you want to. But the SABC, again, you know, we talk about media, and you have a background in media. What do you think of the SABC and the law is going to be followed to the letter in terms of retrenchments? Do you believe that?
Well, I think the issue that we've got is that Cloudy, in his infinite wisdom, completely bypassed the law in terms of how he filled positions. So if you look at the mess that they've got right now, what's very clear is that they've hired bucket loads of people, just bypassing process and giving them hefty salaries. So naturally, the corporation is going to collapse as a direct result. So going through undoing that entire mess is going to, it has to mean retrenchments, because you can't have a situation where that corporation is just giving these guys sheltered employment, no matter what Claudia may think of it.
Yeah, I heard that the salary bill was grossly excessive in terms of the total amount of revenue and expenditure.
Well, you see, the other issue that we've got is that their business model right now is pretty stuffed on the basis that, look, effectively they have a couple of cash cows at the place. Metro FM is clearly a cash cow. Mm-hmm. 5 FM is clearly a cash cow. SABC 3 is a cash cow. SABC 2 to some extent still makes money. Mm-hmm. But if you look in terms of the ALS platforms, the African language stations,
right,
they have massive listenership, but they don't really generate the type of revenue that's needed to keep them in business. But there's a disproportionate amount of money that gets funneled into those channels. And I think obviously there's the state capture hook there, that is the single biggest platform for reaching the masses in this country. So I think the quick and easy way that they can actually get themselves out of the mess is sell off Metro FM, sell off 5 FM. I'm sure that there's lots of private interests who will be happy to take care of those platforms, because they don't really serve a public broadcasting mandate. And then take that money and put it into resurrecting, you know, the other sort of touchy-feely stuff about, you know, what government is doing to fix the toilets.
Being just a little bit cynical there, so I'm with you. I know what you mean. Now, the other thing that happened this week is that everybody went to the UN. Trump was at the UN. Cyril was at the UN. Did you learn anything? Did we garner any information?
Trump is always, you know, I love watching the guy. He is so...
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Just from the point of view of providing entertainment. And you know that at the other end of the line, there are all of these people around the world who are waiting on Twitter to say, did you see what he just said?
Yeah.
Can you believe this guy? And the kind of, it's like a Mexican wave of outrage that travels around the world of every sentence that the guy has.
Well, yeah, and it seems disproportionate to how much he's done wrong, provably wrong, you know. We'll go down that rabbit hole another time. But the UN speeches are usually not really that interesting. I believe Trump said some things about Venezuela.
Yes, he kind of hinted that he wouldn't be unhappy with regime change happening in that part of the world. And it is the kind of stuff that that Trump does, basically throwing out the rule book. If you remember the early days in terms of dealing with Kim in North Korea,
yeah.
Again, he used to say stuff that was very similar along the lines of, what did he call him, a small man? Or I forget, he changes his tune every so often. But he sets up the bluster up front.
Right.
And then, you know, negotiates backwards from there. And it generally seems to have worked very well for him in so many other things. If you look in terms of what Trump's attitude was towards NAFTA, for example, mm-hmm. North American Free Trade Agreement with the Mexicans, he kind of bludgeoned them into submission and then got them to sign. And it's very clear that he's close to achieving the same thing with the Canadians.
Wow.
If you look in terms of what's going on with China... Yeah, again, he gave them a bit of a public flogging at the UN, if you noticed, in terms of China, and
yes,
you know, accused
right.
them of meddling in his elections. But he has this trade war going on with China. People actually don't understand what the trade war is all about. The trade war, Trump is doing exactly what I would be doing in his position, because you have a trade imbalance. So think about it this way. Let's say China ends up slapping 25% tariffs on U.S. goods that they end up importing. And the US does exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, the sheer volume of money that then flows into the US as a direct result of those tariffs is significantly higher.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump ends up winning. So it is quid pro quo, and it's all above board. But and Trump can then take the money that he gets from the tariffs, and he can then subsidize these farmers, which, again, is part of his constituency. And people don't get this.
Right. You know, people underestimate how clean his logic is in some of the situations where a politician would trip themselves up. And that's
absolutely.
America always wanted. Remember, for years and years and years, in every election, they would always say, I wonder what a third-party candidate would look like. Well, now,
yes.
Now you got your answer, right?
Exactly. He has been messing up the narrative, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Look, people turn around and say, why is the American economy continuing to do so well when this guy is a disaster? Short answer is that he's not a disaster. He's actually doing very well.
These are outrageous opinions that you're expressing this morning. You know that there are people in mainstream media who are going to call you all kinds of things.
Yes, but generally, if I take economic advice from journalists, I first have a look at, you know, are they rich journalists?
So it wasn't just your friend Donald Trump who was at the UN. Also, our Cyril Ramaphosa was there.
Oh, goodness, what an embarrassment.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. You know, actually, he had an opportunity to stand up out there and say, guys, look, you know, South Africa's open for business. We are not stealing people's property, much as Trump might think that we are going to do that. All of that kind of stuff. Instead, he stood there and parroted the same line that we've been doing for the past 20 years about, you know, make Mandela's mission proud and all of that kind of stuff. It was a wasted opportunity. Now, the guy was sitting across from Trump at the dinner table, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, right. And he says, oh, we just talked about golf. Really? You could not take like 20 seconds to say, Mr. Trump, I'd like to invite you for a state visit to South Africa so that you can actually clear up this misconception that we're stealing people's property.
Right.
I mean, how long does it take to say that?
Well,
what is that, about 10 seconds?
And what's your priority if you'd rather talk about golf? Really?
Exactly.
It's fairly obvious that some of the people at the top forget about the people at the bottom almost instantly. Let's not go down that greasy pole, though. Jacob Zuma made a flight I saw in the Sunday Times. A flight to Qatar. They called it a mysterious flight. Do we know anything about this? Do you, Canton?
Well, as usual, what I end up doing is trying to follow where the audit trail is in terms of money. Now, we've got a bit of a history with Qatar. I think the state visit from the Emir of Qatar out here was around about was 2017, when the whole you remember the National Day of Protest was going to happen.
Yeah.
And and so a state visit had been scheduled for the same day. And so Zuma suddenly shifted the state visit so that the emir flew in at night for the official start of the state visit so that he wouldn't be drawn into the protests. And Zuma had previously been there, I believe, in 2016, as I recall. And one of the things that he was, among the things that he was doing out there was he was following up on the South African investments that are in Qatar. So we have, PetroSA, for example, is invested in Qatar. We have Sasol has a gas to fuel facility that they invested in out there. But I remember at the time the discussions were around Qatar acquiring a significant stake in Danel.
Oh.
As in, yes.
Arms manufacturer.
And we all know about what the role of the Guptas was in terms of what was going on around Danel and their attempt to actually take control of Danel. So, and Qatar is a kind of an interesting position right now because there's a blockade going on against Qatar from the Saudis and from Bahrain and from the UAE, right. And Egypt is part of that as well. So I flew through Qatar back from Vienna about 2 weekends ago.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting that the way in which you get to Qatar from Europe is that you have to actually overfly Iraq and Iran, because the UAE and the Saudis have denied overflight rights to the Qataris.
Wow.
So there's actually a fairly intense economic war going on in that neck of the woods. And the only reason why there hasn't been a military action against Qatar up to this point, my suspicion is that because the U.S. has a massive military base in Qatar. Which makes it, very unlikely that the Saudis, for example, would want to invade. So the Saudis cannot do a Yemen on Qatar. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So, of course, what that means is that there's no extradition treaties between the UAE and Qatar. So what conclusion would one draw from that, given that, yes, the money was previously in Dubai? Has the money been moved out? Well, I don't know. It's a possibility. What do you think?
I think there are a lot of question marks there, and I'm interested to see where this leads. It does sound conspiratorial, though. I know that these are all facts on the ground, too, but the Middle East is so hard to read.
Yes, but connecting the dots is always kind of an interesting thing. All of those guys, of course, are basket cases from the point of view of human rights and democracy. But Qatar has got very good PR because obviously they have Al Jazeera,
mm-hmm.
And of course they're going to be hosting the World Cup. But their elections have been postponed year after year. Their elections were supposed to be held in 2006. I believe they are now going to be scheduled. They've been moved to 2019, and they'll probably be moved yet again. So what is actually going on in terms of the Arabs fighting the Arabs? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But then how does Zuma fit into this?
Well,
fascinating stuff.
Yeah, he's a very mysterious man in so many ways. And then in other ways, he's just there right in front of you.
but the breach in protocol is... clearly something that should be getting Cyril worried. But then Cyril should be worried about so many things. All of the knives are within his party.
Yeah, low on his priority list, I would imagine.
Very much so.
All right.
By the way, just apropos of the SABC, there's one thing that I want to get in.
Yeah.
This whole concept of TV licenses is such an anachronism. It is so outrageous. The idea that you have an organization that is effectively devoting an entire section to going out and raising funds among the public. Look, they're going to be about as effective in terms of getting funds in as the ETOL guys are, because it's one of the ways in which they can actually be a passive protest. So I think we should actually have a campaign that says get rid of TV licenses completely and find other ways through the fiscus of actually funding public interest broadcasting.
Yeah, at least they'd have a function then, right?
Absolutely.
At least they'd have some purpose. And as you said at the beginning of this discussion, there are things that they can sell off to save themselves. All right. I thank you very much, Canton Pillay. Very nice to talk to you, sir. And we will catch up again soon, no doubt. The Burning Platform on cliffcentral.com. It's brought to you by Nando's.
When them boys talk loose and tell you power's for a king, huh? You just play it cool and tell them power's not a thing.
Alrighty, Experience Fridays on cliffcentral.com. It's Friday, and we talk about all the things that have everything to do with motoring and the lifestyle around it.
Is Ben okay?
He'll be fine. Don't worry about Ben.
He'll be all right. He's not getting paranoid.
No. He's been paranoid his whole life. All right.
It'll pass.
It'll pass.
Yeah.
All right, so... what do you got first this week?
Well, my first story is exactly what your show was about, and that is this new marijuana legislation, and and how do you now regulate it like alcohol for people that drive on the roads?
Right?
Because the effect of marijuana can be even worse for a driver.
Absolutely.
Than alcohol.
They don't test for that.
And how do you test for that on the side of the road? You can't. You have to take blood.
It's like I've had the same argument about sleep. If you don't get enough sleep, you're way more dangerous than someone who's drunk.
Exactly.
In my opinion. I mean, I've got no stats to back it up.
No, but sleep deprivation is probably worse. So there was an article in the US that illustrated that after Washington legislated the recreational use of marijuana in 2013, the number of drivers in fatal crashes who had used the drug more than doubled in 2014. That meant that one in every six crashes were fatal as a result. So this, while this legislation is what everybody wants, you know, there has to be some regulation on our roads around the use of marijuana.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it's finding more and more uses.
Well, Ben, I don't know though.
Yeah, I'm keeping an eye over there. By the way, the worst guys are as chilled as can be. Spongile is trying to do work. She has not partaken in our Experience Fridays.
Uh-huh.
And Sia and Nola, I think, having a bit of a come down. But back to you, George.
So before you light up and joint and decide to drive, consider the following. Your reaction times will be slower. There's no doubt your reaction times will be slower. The drug does cause extreme tiredness.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you had the experts in here today. Yeah. And can even last until the next day in terms of tiredness. So your concentration levels will be reduced. Your driving is likely to be unpredictable and sometimes even more aggressive. So be careful. Be careful when using this stuff and then driving. Don't do it. If you want to use it, don't drive.
Agreed.
You know.
Agreed.
Negative side effects. I think Ben's experiencing them. You can experience nausea, blurred vision, tremor, shakiness, dizziness, paranoia.
Dr. George Meany, everybody.
Don't drive and use this stuff.
I suppose
that's my biggest message. And then VW is, the Beetle came back.
And now they discontinue.
And then discontinue it. The Mini came back.
Yeah.
And the sales of the Mini isn't great. And now they're bringing back a retro combi VW. But this combi has a difference. It's autonomous, and it is, besides a people mover, it is also a stuff mover. So fitted out with all of the paraphernalia to move goods, and that's how they're gonna market this thing. But it's got full autonomous capabilities.
All right.
If you ever wanted to lose weight while driving, there is a Fit Car calorie burning concept.
Yeah.
Which is the brainchild of a Saudi-based inventor by the name of Nasser Al-Shawaf. Never know how to say these guys' names.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
What a great name.
Together with a Dutch engineer, and they've put mechanisms like flywheels and things inside the car so that it causes a little bit of resistance training while you drive.
Which I think
it's not a bad thing for some of those that don't do any exercise whatsoever. And then one big thing is SUVs are on the rise. Everybody wants to drive an SUV.
Yeah.
I've got an SUV. You drive an SUV. Yeah. People want to drive SUVs. So there's a problem occurring in that homes have been built with garages at a certain size.
Mm-hmm.
And these SUVs are getting bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And SUVs aren't fitting into garages anymore.
It's a selling point.
You know, if you think about the Ford F-150, won't fit into a standard garage.
Yeah, I mean, if you're selling a house now, you would have to be very careful to indicate the height of your garage.
Exactly. My car just fits into underneath my garage door. And then there's another trend, and that is people are giving up their swimming pools for their garages, in that fancy garages are being created. And have you ever seen some of the stuff in America where you drive you can't see the garage. You drive onto a platform, and the platform lowers, and
oh,
that's
wow.
your garage.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
And this seems to be becoming more and more and more of a trend. You know, I think people are taking more note of their garage, because a garage used to be just a hole, just a yeah. space.
Most people neglect it. Exactly. Gets filled with tools and
exactly,
you know,
exactly.
all that kind of rubbish. Mm.
And then, last week, or should I say, 2 weeks ago, you asked me to tell you what my list of favorite cars are.
Aha! Here it is.
Okay,
thank
here
you
it
for
is.
Remembering.
So the Jaguar F-Type. Mm-hmm. It's convertible. Costs about R1 million. It's a nice looking car, but I don't know if I would ever drive one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a nice looking car, the Jaguar F-Type.
The shape.
The shape. The shape is magnificent. Another car that that interests me is the Nissan 370Z.
Yeah.
It's about R500,000. And that Nissan, I mean, if you remember the Nissan 350Z, it's almost like the Audi R8,
wow.
but a more affordable one.
Wow.
And so Nissan 370Z. Then the Audi A6.
Mm.
I don't know if you've ever driven in an Audi A6, but it is an extremely comfortable drive. I love that car. And then one of my all-time favorites is the Lexus. Not
really?
Many people like the Lexus. The sedan.
Yeah?
The shape of that sedan Lexus almost looks like a Tesla. And it's almost as if it is a little limousine, but an affordable car.
That's awesome. Beautiful and description.
And then I think my latest favorite car, because of the technology inside it, yeah. is the Volvo XC90.
Okay.
With full autonomous capabilities. Not that you should use it on the road today.
I'm still nervous.
And if I had to add a sixth one, it would be the Mustang, the V8, but not the new one, the old one.
Oh, man.
The old one, the 60s, the
real
60s
old
version.
Muscle car.
The old muscle car.
Those are the ones.
Those are the ones. That's it.
All right, George Meany, thank you so much for popping by. Thank you to you for being part of this morning's Experience Fridays, and we will catch you on Monday at 6. Have a very happy weekend, everybody. Be good. And if you're not, try harder, goddammit.
This is CliffCentral.com.